The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Cheval Golang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, the Digital Transformation Unit, Grand Bahama News, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Live, I'm Cheval Golang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust and hope that you had a great weekend and that you are doing well. Today, if you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. If you want to text us, you can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. Well, the Prime Minister announced his shuffled cabinet yesterday, and not massive changes announced, as I expected. Most of the senior ministers stayed in place, and so it would have been surprising if that had happened. So the Deputy Prime Minister, Hannah Martin, Mitchell, and those remain in place. What we did have was a change reflecting Minister Campbell, who was the Minister of State in the Attorney General's office, who now becomes the substantive minister responsible for agriculture and marine resources. We had Mr. Clay Sweeten, who was the minister responsible for agriculture and marine. We're not trying to listen to Mr. Mitchell. Sorry about that. I'm trying to get some information for you. But anyway, so Clay Sweeten, who was at Agriculture and Marine Resources, now Minister of Works and the Family Island Affairs. So he changes portfolios. Minister Alfred Sayers, who was at Works, is now the minister responsible for immigration and the National Insurance Board, replacing Minister Bell, who was at Immigration and Labor and now becomes the Minister of Housing and Urban Renewal. Minister JoBeth Colby Davis now becomes the Minister of Transport and Energy, leaving housing. And Minister Pierre Glover Rolle, who was the minister responsible for public service, is now the substantive minister of labor and public service. So she was a minister of state, she's now the substantive minister. Minister of State Zane Lightbourne, who was the minister of state in the Ministry of Education, now becomes the minister of state in the Ministry of Environment, so where the substantive minister will be Vaughn Miller. And then Mr. Basil McIntosh will now be the Minister of State for Aviation. So he remains the Minister of State. So essentially, I think two ministers, uh, two ministers of state become portfolio ministers. Three ministers of state become portfolio ministers now. Now, we are supposed to have a guest today to talk about some of this stuff, but I don't think that the guest is here yet. But I want to clarify something because somebody called me about it, or texted me and asked me about it. They sent me a statement by someone. Somebody texted them something and said that their minister gets paid $66,000 for each responsibility he or she has. So if there's immigration, they get for that, and there's labor, they get for that. If they're minister of tourism, they get for that. If they're investment, they get for that. That is absolutely untrue. Untrue. It is not so. If you are a cabinet minister, you could have 15 ministries under your charge. You know what salary you get? $66,000 for all of them. Okay, that's nonsense. You don't get a salary for being the deputy prime minister, then a salary for being the minister of tourism, and then a salary for being the minister of investment. That is untrue. You are stop spreading false information, please. Our system doesn't work that way. If the prime minister assigned one minister to tourism, immigration, housing, agriculture, that minister would get paid one salary, $66,000 on a duty allowance. And if they are a member of the House of Assembly, they get their member of parliament salary. So their total salary would be $93,000. If they ran 16 ministries, the salary would be $93,000. If they ran one ministry, it would be $93,000, minister and member of parliament. If you are a senator, you get the minister salary and the senator salary, unless by some means they top it up so that it comes back to up to the $93,000. But it is not true to tell people that these guys are collecting multiple salaries for each responsibility they have. It is not true. Learn how your government system works. Okay? Don't let's say that to people anymore. That's simply not true. So what did you think about my guest isn't here yet. So what did you think? What was your impression of the changes announced by the prime minister? Does it help you gain more confidence in the government? Do you think the things will be much better now that those changes have been made? What did you think? The prime minister also gave an accounting of his government's tenure. What did you think of the prime minister's accounting of what his government has done for the last 2 years? Eight changes in all. And what do you think? What do you think? What do you think of the changes? We now have a new Minister of Agriculture and Marine Resources, a new Minister of Works and Family Island Affairs. I don't know. I can't quite recall whether Family Island Affairs is an addition to public work. But what do you think, Alfred? A new change at immigration and national insurance, a new change at transport and energy. What's your take on life? Let me know. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316, or you can text us on 439-3047. Sorry, on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. What do you think? What do you think about what has happened? Obviously, when you make a change like this, if you're the prime minister, you're hoping for a positive response from the public. You're hoping for the public to get a sense that there is a new impetus. What are your thoughts on what has happened? But tell me, what's your thoughts? Anybody? Were you impressed? Were you not impressed? This says, thank you, sir, for clearing that up. You're quite welcome. Not a problem. We got a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Mr. Lang. Good day.
Hi, how you doing? Hey, how you doing, man?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you well.
Can't hear. I don't know if you're there.
I'm here. I don't know why you're not hearing me, but I can hear you very well.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. It just came in. Yeah, so my thoughts on it was that I give him a slow mark for actually doing something. In some ways, it wasn't what I'd like for the Prime Minister to have done. I would have liked for him to really remove Pete Bell completely.
Okay.
It was just too much things surrounding him. Says, I think the roads are in some of the worst conditions. I've lost a tire already on some of the roads, and I just think he's not up to the task. Not that he isn't a good person.
But they moved him now, so you have a new person now, so that just should make you happy.
Right. So I think, but I'm putting him somewhere else. I think he should have been removed. I don't think that it necessarily that he would actually do. He would be as effective in that ministry, that immigration. I see that as such an important ministry. I think that he was constrained by perhaps just withholding, making sure that there was no abuse. I think, you know, he didn't let the persons, you know, for this contract, that contract, abuse, and that probably just overtook him, that he wasn't able to have the stuff done. Like Desmond Bannister, you know, I'm not an FNM, but I'll give him credit. In that last administration, the roads were much better. And I give Altruth Fairs credit that Gladstone Road they did. Ministry of Works, it really showed the talent those guys got. So I commend them for that. I think also the appointment of the guy from agriculture, the minister, Sweeting, he was a hard worker, and I believe that you're going to see some. Now, not a PLP, but I give him credit where credit is due. And I thought Peter Glover was really good in government and getting those the industrial agreement signed and people paid who didn't get paid. I know of it for sure, so I give her credit. But I believe that, you know, a lot of them, that's a lot of waste. We don't need a lot of those state ministers or what you call them, parliament secretary. We really don't need it at this point. In our case, it wasn't even necessary. And so I just think that we could share a lot of that load. But I understand these parties are constrained by loyalty. And they want less backbenchers who can challenge them, so they have to put them in some portfolio. I understand. I disagree with it, but I understand. Those are my comments, man. Thanks.
You know, thank you very much. That's a very sober contribution, showing you have seems like a clear understanding of the way things work, both practically and theoretically. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Someone is telling me that I said there were 8 changes. They count 10, but there wasn't any change for Obi Welchcombe, eh? Obi Welchcombe is Minister of Social Services. Did Obi Welchcombe change? When I was taking notes, I didn't see any change for him. I got all the others. Lisa Ramming, Minister of Health. Yeah, but you're doing the change. I was doing the switches. So the switches, So Lisa Ramming, maybe, okay, all right. Maybe 9 or 10, okay, no problem, no big deal. Oh, we added something, okay, all right. Yeah. All right, so what do you think? That's what I'm trying to get at. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so delighted. My guest is now in studio, and we're going to have a conversation with him about some of what has happened. And I have to tell you, I told you before, the last time I heard him speak, he was the guest speaker at the Government and Public Policy Institute's Meet the Policy Maker lecture series. And he presented on the national security policy of the Bahamas. And I said then, and I say now, that his presentation was, for me, one of the best policy presentations I had seen, not in recent times, I heard ever. Very clear, very logical, very functional, very pragmatic. And I really was impressed. But today we have the privilege and the honor of having with us the Minister of National Security, for whom no changes came in the portfolio as far as I'm aware, the Honorable Wayne Monroe. Welcome, sir.
Good afternoon, Trivago. A little bit of miscommunication on when I was to be on. I got the impression you did a monologue for the first half hour.
Yeah, no, actually, for a little bit, but you're good. We didn't have much time lost at all. I'm just happy that you could make it. Thank you for making it today.
My pleasure.
So, Prime Minister made some changes in his cabinet, indicated that he did so with a view to trying to get additional efficiencies in the work that they have. He has left to do. Before we get to any specifics about the change, the Prime Minister also gave an accounting of his tenure in office, the government's tenure in office thus far. And I wanted to ask you, first of all, what do you think, or what do you observe or see as the most significant achievement the Davis administration has made to date?
I'm Chivago, there are so many, it's difficult. But
okay.
coming out of the general election, the country was locked down still. And if you listen to the soundings from the opposite side when the Prime Minister and the Minister of Health was leading the opening of the country, it was quite clear that there was resistance. So opening the country safely and spurring growth at the same time was a significant accomplishment. And
go ahead, Minister.
And then steps taken to looking after the less fortunate following shortly thereafter is also significant. And everything you see the Prime Minister doing, it's with a view of those who are less able to look after themselves, even when you have a delay in increases that is being pushed back to facilitate persons. That's done with a view to softening blows. So that's, if you look at it holistically, that is the banner hallmark of Brave Davis, always was, always will be.
Now, I have to ask, to my recollection, when the elections took place, the country and the economy was not locked down, but there certainly was still some significant areas where activity was being curtailed. But I mean, hotels were opening up, travel was being permitted, et cetera. So it wasn't lockdown, was it?
Well, any suspension of fundamental rights to me is a lockdown.
Okay, I got you. So you say that as a rights qualitative thing, as opposed to just what activities were being permitted in the economy.
Precisely. When we talk about something that's happening in my ministry, I say that Bahamians have a fair view of how you can serve a sentence in the community by what we went through doing the previous administration's management of the, and even coming out the end of it.
All right. One of the things the Prime Minister also indicated was that I'm trying to remember his words, but he was alluding to the fact that the economy was not in good shape. Though in 2021 the economy actually grew by 14%, which was the highest it had grown, and since that time the economy has continued to recover, but more slowly, as would have been expected by any economist. But in point of fact, the economy actually had revved up quite a bit prior to election. And so
Well, if you make comparisons, it'll depend on what you're comparing it to.
Right.
So if you're comparing an economy where you have some easing against an economy where everything is shut down and people are out of work, one would expect to see improvements over that. And so it's always important to look at what you're comparing it against.
I agree with that 100%. That's one of the reasons why every time I hear the comment, I am curious as to what the prime minister is comparing it to, because if you look at the numbers in terms of growth, if you look at the numbers in terms of unemployment, et cetera, they were all improving and improving significantly as a matter of recovery, because even now, if we look at the economy, it's still a matter of some recovery, even though now I think we've made some gains, even pre-pandemic and so forth. And so there's definitely some comment to make, positive comment to make about the state of the economy now. But just for the record, I think sometimes when I hear the comment, I think that it may not necessarily reflect all that growth that was coming back, which was a good recovery, solid recovery.
Well, I put everyone out of a job. Once I opened up and 20 people get a job, that's an improvement of 20. As you reach the point at which it was normalized, growth then is significant. But if you're starting from a stalled state that was inflicted for whatever reason by you, measuring growth against those standards would be artificial. But I'm content to say, Shivago, that when you listen to Parliament and when you listen to the tabling of all of the measures to open up the economy, all of those were resisted by those opposite and preaching caution, 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 which was a way of saying not to do it. And doing it is what drove the recovery quicker. That's a simple point. And while doing that, actual protections were put in terms of lowering VAT generally, increasing bread basket items, the items caught by it to include more healthy options, increasing minimum wage, pushing back in NIB rates and things of that nature to a point that one would hope the economy would have recovered some. Even simple things like stalling enforcement of traffic violations while people got themselves together to regularize their positions. Everything was driven by coming out of it as quickly as possible and seeking to cushion the blow.
Okay. And so let me ask you less broadly, in terms of your own tenure, you've been a Minister of National Security for 2 years. The Prime Minister indicated that crime is one of those areas where he wants to focus attention on getting even more results. What would you say have been significant positive changes that you've seen?
Let me say this about the Prime Minister. When he gives you an assignment, he gives you an assignment in writing so that you can be measured against what he's given you. When we came to office, we were in a circumstance that we were at that point, and what we met was a circumstance where in some islands and in some divisions, persons would call the police and the police would say, "We can come if you come and get us." We met a circumstance where there were police stations that would require 6 persons to be barely manned, and there were 2 or 3 persons for various reasons. And so there was immediate impetus to address shortfall of men, shortfall of equipment. We found the intervention programs had been scaled back and in some cases stopped even before COVID. And so intervention with the young persons at risk hadn't been aggressively addressed, and we started to ramp that back up. I believe with the appointment of Keith Bell to Housing and Urban Renewal together with Lisa Ramming, you're going to see a very energized urban renewal, which if persons don't grasp it properly is to issues in local urban communities and communities generally that can affect persons coming over into crime. So lack of housing, lack of decent housing, derelict vehicles that people can hide firearms in, derelict structures that people can hide firearms in, paying attention to the young people who are going about and interacting with urban renewal. So urban renewal and the new focus on urban renewal with the appointment of a substantive minister there, together with housing, someone like Akeet Bell, who has some quite experience of it, partnering now with Lisa Rami, I expect to see energize an energetic urban renewal that should take another serious dent out of crime.
So, just for my clarification, urban renewal was always tied to housing, or was this a change in portfolio?
No, that is a change.
Okay. It was where before, urban renewal. That's right, in social services.
But what you have is this, Shivago. The previous Minister of Housing, who has been given, housing has been tied with urban renewal, and housing and keeping people housed is a significant stressor if it comes to crime. The previous Minister of Housing, I like to say, has built infinitely more homes than our predecessor, because they built none. So if you build one, you built infinitely more. But not only was there a provision of housing where people were actually put in housing, but there was the development of a new paradigm of rent to own, which again is to lower the access level of people to affordable housing. Nothing makes you feel more stable, less, as the English say, at a loose end, than if you have your own place to call home. And so housing now is with urban renewal, and I expect to see, as the housing and take their feet, and urban renewal comes along and looks at the issues in the communities, what I expect to see as Minister of National Security, a more robust approach to it and further reductions in crime. Remember now that the crime of greatest concern at this moment isn't actually homicide, it's sexual offenses, which is the category of crime that is spiking. Whereas homicide and offenses generally had a 30% decrease, sexual offenses have spiked, and that really requires us to address the community from which the sexual offenders come, from which the victims come, to make it comfortable for victims to report, to deal with them sensitively, and then to engage with what are the root causes of the domestic violence, domestic abuse, and the sexual abuse and sexual violence that we see. Important going forward, because the police statistics show that that is the class of offense that is increasing while others are decreasing.
But the thing that I have a concern about, Minister, and maybe you can help us with this, because I honestly, to perhaps to the discredit of the former administration, I don't know what the numbers are in terms of houses built. You say there was none.
Right? Zero. It's easy.
Not one public house.
No, as the religious song says, no, not one.
not one man.
No, not one.
So, but on the other hand, there's two things for me in terms of even what this administration has done: the number of houses built, what that number is, and the extent to which people are now occupying these homes. Because I and this isn't new, getting the statistics on that has been a challenge for some time. So it's one thing to build houses, time where significant numbers of houses were built, but in terms of occupancy for the houses, because people are qualified for it, et cetera, there has been challenges with that. Do you have any information on that?
No, but what I can say is that from anecdotal evidence, there are persons in my constituency and elsewhere who have, in fact, already qualified There is a line for the homes that are being completed. And the approach is to, of the previous minister, was to get you qualified ahead of the assignment process. So that was an aggressive move as well. To say, this is what Renaissance at Carmichael prices are. Here is what you'll need. Come and bring your documents. We will have a look at you. You have mortgage co-op. You also have commercial banks who you can qualify at. When you come and you're qualified, then you can be shortlisted for assignment of a home.
Let me ask this question, Minister. I by no means am I trying to be facetious. Obviously, a government is not going to have everybody happy about what it does. That's standard. But using words you just used, anecdotal evidence, there is a fair amount of discontent, it seems, that people have with the way things are in the country. Of course, you know, that always means we can put that on the people who govern in the country at the time. But if I listen to the Prime Minister in terms of all that his administration has achieved, if I listen to you in terms of all you say that you have achieved, do you see that discontentment? And two, if you do, how do you see that against all the effort and the achievements or accomplishments you and the PM and others would say you have done?
The first step, Shivago, is to assess the level of it. Mm-hmm. And that is something that is sometimes difficult. There are arguments about whether your survey is adopts the right methodology. But let's put that on the side in terms of numbers. From where I sit, and having observed the Prime Minister, from how persons proceed, you look at why are you discontented, and you would give some facts. I'll give you an example in the area that I have some knowledge of. People say, oh, all these Haitians coming and landing in the Bahamas illegally. When it's a fact, that isn't happening, but if persons come out and insist on saying it and replaying all social media clips, persons would form a view based on evidence that and material that is not accurate. And so whenever you assess discontent, I always ask, and people then get mad at me to say I'm being a lawyer, but I'm not being a lawyer. I'm actually trying to get to the bottom of it. Why are you unhappy with us? When you give the reason, if it's not factually accurate, then I may be able to address your circumstance by pointing you to what are the correct facts. We'll still be discontented, even the facts being undisputed. And then it may arise because of a policy circumstance. So policy circumstance may be we choose to do this, and this affects this group of persons, and they are unhappy. The English had a saying, not in my backyard. So their big thing was, I choose to build a dump. I build it next to Shivago Lang's community. He is discontented. And so when you look at one of the facts upon which people are making their decisions accurate, if they are, then if it's unpopular for a policy reason, you examine the policy reason, and if it is something that can change or is being misapplied, then you address that.
I see. I do this show, as does others doing their shows, and people obviously call in, text in, make their commentary. I walk around, I move around, listen to people. And while all of what you said can be true, from what I could tell, things that people are displeased about insofar as maybe a way of doing things or what in fact has been done, whether they feel that was right or wrong or not, or whether or not there is accountability in some space, you're doing too much traveling or that kind of stuff. And so those things seem to be floating out there. And might the Prime Minister's determination to kind of reset his administration with a roguing of the House, with a shuffling of the cabinet, new governor general, might it be an opportunity to say to people, okay, let's see if we can go out of this again?
I'll approach it like this, Zhivago. And one of the examples you gave was classic travel. Actually, the travel budget is $500,000 less than the former administration spent in the year that we had Dorian and we had the lockdown for COVID. So in the budget year that was July 2019 to July to June 31st, 2020, they actually spent $500,000 more than was spent by this administration. Now, to bear in mind that the whole world was locked down from March to June of that year.
And when there was more travel than the last 2 years.
Money spent as a budget year, in that budget year.
Allocated or money spent?
Actual expenditure. It is a point that I put on the record in the House. Hmm. Actually, $500,000 more. And so when you deal with raw figures, that exposes what the facts are. Mm-hmm. Now, separate and apart from that, people are still going to be concerned about your traveling. But you have to look at what you're traveling for. The Prime Minister has come to office, and one of his priorities is that we are a small island developing state. We're low-lying. Climate change for us, I don't like to use the word existential because people don't get a clear grip of it. Climate change for us, is a choice of whether we will exist as a country or whether we will be underwater, except for perhaps Mount Alvernia. So he came to that, and because of that, he has traveled. He has made relationships that are paying off now. If you start with accuracy that we're paying more to travel now than they did in 2019, 2020 budget year, you'll get one view. But you'll still be upset, regardless of how much money, because you say, why are you doing it? And then you look at, why are you doing it? And what is the payback for what you are doing? And I think we're seeing the payback for what is happening and what is being done.
We have to take a break, Minister. But when we come back, we talk about it just a little bit more. But we're going to take a break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Zhivago Lai, your host. I'm here with the Minister of National Security, the Honorable Wayne Monroe. We're talking about the shuffle and the changes. We'll be back after this break.
Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you can't tell the same.
Too many debt bills? Overdue on loan payments? Improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Straight debt consolidation loan and built-in savings that pays you 5% interest. Call 356-7764.
Farmers everywhere, fishermen here and there. The Ministry of Agriculture, Marine Resources, and Family Island Affairs now has 30 services available online. Apply for your agriculture farmland lease, farmers registration and license, and crawfish trapping permits online. All kinds of duty-free and import permits are now just a click away. Visit mygateway.gov.bs and grow your business today. My Gateway, making government work for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Zhivago Lai, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, where we're talking today with the Minister of National Security, the Honorable Wayne Monroe. We're talking about the cabinet shuffle and other changes that the government has made. Minister, I have to tell you, right? I'm still fascinated with the, about the expenditure difference you say between the travel now and the travel then. I wasn't clear. Are you comparing travel year to year or travel over full term versus travel over 2 years? Is this travel for the prime minister versus travel for all the ministers and then travel for technical officers and all those kinds of people? Like, I that's curious to know. Again, may I say so, please? I tell people, listen, I don't get caught up in the debate over travel. That to me, a government travels. If it travels a lot, if it travels little, a government travels. If it states its objectives, et cetera, that's what it says. I'm not making this an issue. I just find that astounding, given what appears to me to be a much more active travel schedule for the prime minister and the government generally than I have seen. But again, that might just be my lack of all the data. So is this prime minister's travel?
The actual travel financial year 2019-2020 actual was 12,775,188 dollars.
2019-2021, yes.
Actuals. The budget for this year is 12,292,695 dollars.
Okay, but what was the actual travel, say, 2020, 2022, 2023?
Oh, I don't have those figures.
Okay, well, that's the comparison I think that matters, right? Because an allocated, you know,
I can get that out. I think we have 2021 actuals.
But I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. But I think that that's what would matter the most because you and I both know we can allocate funds. And that's why we have supplementaries, because sometimes we spend over that and we come back to the House of Assembly and we can ask for permission to have spent the amounts in excess of that allocated amount that we spent.
Yeah, but that, so but that's, those yeah, that's the actual spend in the year that started July 2019, June 2020, where the world was locked down from March to June.
I don't think
we should fixate on that. That's just an example of if you have a false narrative run, then people may be unhappy because of that.
I agree. Yeah. It's not to be fixated on it. I would prefer to have a comparison that is apples and oranges, which means an actual spend to an actual spend, not an actual spend to an allocated spend. One of the things the Prime Minister indicated was that, you know, he came to office with a view to trying to have some of these and respond to the desire for Bahamians to have some of these younger, newer folk take on leadership roles, et cetera. And obviously the Prime Minister's now asked for a few of them in his cabinet to step up to the plate. How significant do you see that kind of move by the Prime Minister?
Well, I think when you look at it, and we're not just talking about this movement in cabinet responsibility, when he took office, the table, somebody said, was a lot better looking than it had been in the past because you had more women at the table than ever before. Mm. And women, you have a female senior substantive minister in Glenys Honoré-Martin. You have Pia Glover-Rowell. You have Lisa Ramming. You have Ginger Moxie all around the table, and JoBette Colby-Davis as a substantive minister, all making serious contributions. And it is something to be said when I am an old person. And so we always started out with a number of very young ministers with substantive portfolios, JoBette Colby-Davis, Clay Sweeting, a number of them with making a real step. Now, you've had the elevation of Jomo Campbell, who is also young, Pia Glover role to a substantive minister, a young man, and a young woman who now have full responsibility on their own. And you know, Shivago, that people have this, in my view, misunderstanding of the system. The prime minister is first amongst equals. He's like the captain. I've been in a number of substantial cases where he has been the captain. And so he has demonstrated that the captain decides to course of the vessel, he tasks the crew, and then he determines with his hand on the wheel the direction of the ship. At some point, he might determine crew with a mind to where he is going and the best way to get there. And that is all that has happened, and all of the accomplishments that cannot be gainsaid. It cannot be gainsaid, for instance, that where you had few, if any, industrial agreements signed, you have 22 in less than 22 months that you have now going on service-wide promotions. You have the youth guard formed. You have constant recruitment. You have upgrading of the surface fleet of the Defense Force. You have upgrading of the fleet of vehicles for the police force. You have all of this. And at all times, the captain has his hand on the wheels and decides that this is the direction, and it's set out in the blueprint for change, and he might decide what to do. The joke I like to tell, and I told Clay, Minister Sweeting, is the Prime Minister coached both of the games against the clergy. Now, we lost both. The last one was closer than the first. And you know, I got the opportunity to see it, but I was told, and I saw the videos, that Clay took the last shot because, you know, he was told to take the last shot. The game before, he didn't take the last shot.
Maybe that's why they lose, because you sit out. What was the problem?
No. I'm not a basketball.
Right?
I'm not a basketball man. If we play in American football, if we play in football, okay. If we play in baseball or softball, I'm there. I've never been a basketball man.
You know, Minister, when we come back, when we come back, I want to, because we're going to have to take a break for news. But when we come back, I want you to speak to this. There is, I've been in politics, so I know how sometimes this game is played or how the dynamics of it operates from time to time. But, you know, sometimes you would say, your administration or yourself might say, well, had all this expenditure, notwithstanding the pandemic, because the assumption is during the pandemic, things were locked down, so you shouldn't have done as much. Well, why isn't that also true in the reverse? What has happened since you came to office versus what happened while they were in office and Minister administration? And quite a bit of time was spent combating a significant global crisis that didn't shut down just the Bahamas' economy, shut down the world's economy, and the world is still reeling from it. And that sometimes there is no regard for the fact that, well, you can't really negotiate that many agreements or do this as much infrastructural stuff or that kind of stuff because your revenue is significantly constrained in the process. Might that not be an issue also?
The impression I got was that, and when I looked around, because I had a lot of time to look around when I was home, not being able to go to work, most of the other countries did stuff like infrastructural work. One, to drive employment, and two, what better time to fix the roads than when people aren't on them? So some of it, that they are responsible for the pandemic. What we say is when you look at the performance, it's to be gainsaid, but we don't like to look back so much because I was told where I come from, you only walk backward in the graveyard. We prefer to look forward. We put the blueprint for change out there. We've hit the ground running. The captain is steering the ship directly. It's a matter of prioritizing now, 2 years in,
we
further course. And manning to get there.
We'll look forward when we come back from the news break. Again, ladies and gentlemen, the Honorable Wayne Monroe, Minister of National Security, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lange, your host. We're going to take a break for news. We'll be back after the news break.
Classic sandwich so good, we've been making it since 1979. Introducing the original chicken sandwich, American style, with fries and a drink for only $7.95, including VAT. This sandwich is made with white meat chicken, lightly breaded and topped with crisp, fresh lettuce, creamy mayonnaise, tomatoes, and lots of American cheese on a long sesame seed bun. Get your American original chicken sandwich combo for only $7.95, including VAT, at Burger King NASA, where taste is king.
Being an investor has its benefits, like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it. At a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time, I can easily get the cash I need for travel, home renovations, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF margin loan at rfgroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I'm here with the Minister of National Security, the Honorable Wayne Monroe. We're talking about the Prime Minister's recent shuffle of the cabinet. We're talking about the new thrust coming. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. Or 325-4316, or you can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Minister, again, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward, let's talk about legislatively. The House has been prorogued, so you're going to have a new agenda for the Parliament. What can we look forward to legislative period?
I wouldn't want to preempt the Governor General, October.
Okay.
But there are some things that I think if you look at the, I can certainly say from my ministry's standpoint, there was announced the Bahamas Wildlife Enforcement Network. So one should expect that once we get past, and you know what I mean when I say the public service, that should be advanced, an armed enforcement service for all natural resources of all descriptions. You could expect, as we are now in consultation on the Conditional Release Act, that will be advanced from my ministry. You could expect that we have foreshadowed that there is the Security Forces Inspectorate that we're looking at embedding independent oversight of not only police action, but the actions of all security services, meaning police, defense force, immigration, and customs. The current person leading that is retired Commodore Tellis Bethel. So you can expect to see new and paradigm-changing legislation like that out of my ministry, as well as having some things that just need to change to adjust, to tighten up, where we'll be bearing in mind some of what we've been seeing, where we're now working on a new sentencing regime to address dangerous criminals that really and truly currently, having had long conversations with the police, they're not satisfied that the sentencing regime is adequate. And we have looked, and based on my knowledge from being on the program, look at Canada, who has a fairly aggressive system of deeming people dangerous criminals that has some consequences if you're a dangerous criminal for causing physical harm. And so you can expect that those significant pieces of legislation out of my ministry.
Minister, you know, I have seen my own self some data, which, you know, I've seen some data where it seems that the one of, if not the top concern of Bahamians, is safety. That's anecdotally speaking, I could certainly believe and say that that's a top concern for Bahamians. And the reality of feeling safer is what ultimately, if you could have your way, I believe you would want to have your way. Not only the reality of feeling safer, but actually being safer would be what we all would want in this country. But the truth of the matter is, every time ministers come to this effort, this portfolio, notwithstanding the work done in more police officers, more cars, etc., this issue of being safer and feeling safer is a complicated one. What you've been on all sides of the judicial dynamics in the country now. What's your sum of the challenge of this particular situation to make people be and feel safer?
And this is a fact. In effect, the more work to do, the Prime Minister is quite clear about. From the policy address I gave at UB, and I must congratulate UB for putting on such a series. You know, people can come and say anything, but that exposes the public, and I hope they pay attention to it, of what is the announced policy positions of a government. But we have to take more ownership as a village, if you understand why I use that phrase, of the need to be safe. And so the Prime Minister's chief driving aim is prevention, prevention, prevention. Because if you can prevent a crime, then you prevent the harm that the crime inflicts. You prevent somebody getting into the system. And then you prevent the cost associated with dealing with the person in the system. And so we are concentrating strongly on diversionary efforts to meet youth at risk on their level, identify them, and deal with them. That involves identifying sometimes parents who are having challenges with parenting, because back in the day, that used to happen, but a whole community bore them up. And so essential part, as I said, in the policy presentation, to feel safer, we have to own the need to participate in the process. The biggest thing that I think I can do as a Bahamian to foster safety, I have 7 children. I have to play my part in properly seeing that my 7 children are properly raised. I can't ignore my neighbor's children. I can't ignore the young people at my church. I can't ignore the young people in my neighborhood, because we all live in the same community. And so you're going to see, and you're seeing, a better government to intervene. I had a conversation with the new Governor General, and even before assuming office, she understood clearly what it means that we have to, and she said it in her address, lift up young people, show them what can be, and then do a part of bringing them to that point. And so we have a lot of good work going on by a lot of organizations that interact with young people that seek to address it. What we need is coordination. A lot of that will come through urban renewal. But again, the private sector quite often is reticent about engaging fully a public organization. And there is a proposal in my ministry that this coordinated effort be run through the Office of the Governor General, who is, after all, the head of state, doesn't have a political agenda to push. The private sector can feel comfortable with interacting with that agency. And that is a matter that I intend to discuss with the Governor General.
Minister, go ahead.
And she appears to be receptive of it. So good work is going on. And we have to not listen to the bad news bears all the time. And sometimes bear in mind, the police tell us 7% of the criminals commit 70% of the crimes.
We have a couple of callers on the line, Minister. Let me take those calls. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Good afternoon, Minister. How are you doing?
Afternoon, I'm good.
Thank you for your attempt to calm our concerns as a public as it relates to matters, in particular, and in particular your ministry. As I listen to you talk about the coordinated effort, based on my studies and research, I've been made to understand that that effort that you speak of is called the public health approach, and something that the Ministry of Health ought to coordinate and lead the effort in. I would encourage your government to look further into that approach, the public health approach, and understanding the holistic approach that comes with it and the various roles that each ministry would have to play in the multi-sectorial or multidisciplinary approach to us eradicating crime out of our communities and country. Secondly, something else I wanted you to consider or ask the government to consider. I remember...
Well, if I could stick a pin, we went to a symposium on violence as a public health issue, CARICOM chaired in Trinidad. It's a regional matter. It's a regional issue that's being pushed. Dr. David Allen, who is the chairman of the Advisory Committee on Crime that is based in my ministry, presented there. And that whole concept is how we're proceeding and have proceeded. And so, for instance, you see what is happening in the schools. You see what now is happening in BDOCs, where for the first time we have psychiatrists, psychologists, occupational therapists hired to work with the persons who are in there, 99% who will exit there. So that is something that we're well aware of. The Prime Minister, myself, the Minister of Education, I cannot remember if Dr. Darvill attended. I think he had a conflict in Switzerland. But we all attended that symposium in Trinidad under the auspices of CARICOM, hosted by Trinidad.
So I look forward to our country benefiting from a fuller policies that are related to the public health approach to dealing with violence and crime. That has been given to us from 2015, to my understanding, by the United Nations. But the other option that I wanted you to consider, or for your government to consider, I remember some time back, and you know, we always say this term that government is continuous, but for the average citizen looking in, it doesn't appear so. I remember as a young person that sometime during the Ingram administration, there was a gun court institute that Mr. Shivago Lang may remember that I believe as a young person, and that's based on hearing commentary from my peers and persons in communities and young people in general. We believe that that was a major dent, that led to a major dent in gun violence or gun activity. And I think it's something that this government ought to consider with the level of gun violence that we see spiking throughout the country. And so I don't know if that's something that I believe we have to be very innovative in our approach to dealing with ill such as gun violence in particular. As for the domestic violence and so forth, I believe as we continue to implement the plan of the public health approach and understanding the various arms or avenues of it, that can curb some of that stuff. But gun violence in particular will require some very strategic and intentional our strategy is for us to curb such an activity when the average young man, it's easier for him to come in contact with a firearm than a driver's license.
I appreciate you calling, my friend. Thank you very much. Great questions. Great comments. Thank you. Go ahead, Minister.
The issue of a gun court, although it was called a gun court, it's a magistrate's court. I practiced during that time. It was an ordinary magistrate's court where you had the ordinary, had firearms matters directed there, just as you've had drug matters directed to a sole magistrate. Our approach is similar but slightly different. The commitment, when we looked at it, it doesn't matter where the matter goes. What matters is the speed with which the matter is disposed of. I'd announced, and I'm pleased to say it's now in force, that there are two magistrates to which these matters are directed. The police have made a commitment to be ready to begin and conclude their case, and I think it's 3 weeks. I'm subject to the complexity of the matter. The magistrate expects the whole matter to be completed within a month and a half. That obviates the time at which you have persons on bail for these offenses, because even if you get bail, it's going to be for 4 to 6 weeks. I'm made to understand that what is happening in the court is, as a lot of these offenses are firearms actually taken off the person of people, that the magistrates are now adopting sentencing practices where there is really a value to pleading guilty. That if you waste the court's time in a matter that you ought not to have, you will be awarded a greater penalty than if you plead guilty. It is hoped and we expect that we would now see a clear-up of these matters in 4 to 6 weeks. When people talk about a gun court, they're thinking about a gun court as exists in Jamaica. There was never such a court in the Bahamas. There are issues about the sentencing powers of magistrates. But our position is, if you have somebody with a gun and the magistrates and the Court of Appeal set the tariff, and they can be awarded their 3 years, bearing in mind what the maximum is, if you try them in the magistrate's court, that young man then is delivered.
Minister, I have some questions related to that, but we have a caller on the line. I want to get that caller. They've been waiting for a while. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Very pleasant good evening, Minister Lang, and also a very pleasant good evening to the Honorable Minister. I have a few questions for the Minister. As an attorney, you've been in office about 32 years, just about. You would have seen the deficiencies of the Royal Army Police Force. And coming to office, I would think that you would have brought some initiatives that would help reduce, I'm concerned about a rising level of serious crime. Now, I know that you did, one of the policies you implemented was to eliminate viewing the face of criminals going before the court. I know that you've done that. But I've also heard you speaking a lot about saturation patrol. What is saturation patrol? Because I've been hearing that term from way back. It's nothing new. I think it means just increased patrol. My question is, what new initiative has you brought to office to help to reduce the level of rise in crime? And I think you said something about there was never a gun court in the Bahamas.
Not as exists in Jamaica. It was just a magistrate gun matters were directed.
Yeah, they dealt with gun matters and the sentencing.
Yeah, that was a magistrate's court. A gun court, as in Jamaica.
Okay. My question is,
Hold on. Let the minister speak, and then we're not chasing you off. Go ahead, Minister.
So a gun court, as now articulated in Jamaica, dealt with higher levels of penalties. The gun court, if you want to call it here in the Bahamas, is just a magistrate to whom firearms matters are directed.
Yeah. My main question is, what new initiative have you brought to office to reduce crime?
Okay, great. I think you got that. Thank you. Appreciate your calling.
The starting point is our system directs the Commissioner of Police to direct the Royal Bahamas Police Force. So I'm pleased to say that I don't try to be a policeman. It's not my function. Over the last 30 years of practicing and being a judge, the police force and the Royal Bahamas Police Force does an excellent job. Witness that when our neighbors to the south encountered their problems with violence, they didn't call for the English. They called for the Royal Bahamas Police Force and the Royal Bahamas Police Force went down to Turks and Caicos and addressed their situation. Crime is multifaceted. The job of the Minister of National Security is not to be the Commissioner of Police. I've met with police officers, and I'm very pleased to say that they compare highly worldwide. Saturation patrols is not new. The caller is absolutely correct. That is just a concept that you put police in sectors where they can respond rapidly. So when it started, for instance, we've had a number of armed robbery suspects arrested as they left the scene. When I came to office, the difficulty with saturation patrol is you need manpower and you need equipment. The saturation patrols with the 100 units delivered is now possible. So the reality of crime is this, and this is what I believe with it. A murderer is not born a murderer. When the child is born, he is completely innocent. We now have 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds charged with multiple murder. Somewhere along the line from birth to 15 or 16, that child started to go wrong and nobody corrected it. Nobody. And so the task is we could decide to try to pick up people after they commit the crimes, or we can engage programs to prevent them getting in it. All our job is to make them join our gang instead of these street gangs. And once we understand that, and then we start to apply ourselves, and a lot of people already do it. You have a small number of people doing these things, and the vast majority of young people are engaged in positive conduct.
Absolutely, absolutely. But Minister, don't we get ourselves in trouble? And I mean, the people who have participated in politics, people who participate in politics because of the way we talk about crime when we are trying to get into office. It doesn't matter if it's the FNM, the PLP, the DNA. There's always this notion for it. We could fix this. Look what they're letting, look how they're letting the crime happen. Look at all these murders in the country. When we come to office, we'll fix that. And then we come to office and then we say, but crime is a multifaceted thing. I've seen it. From administration, are we not shooting ourselves in the foot a bit by not talking the way you speak now when we are in the fray of campaign?
I can only speak as to how I speak, Shivago. When one looks about and we talk about governments being continuous, in 2016, a draft national development plan was settled, money from the IDB, everyone involved. The PLP is committed to implement it, and where it's necessary, the Prime Minister recently said that if persons have issues with it, they can engage on it to seek to tweak it. This approach that somehow there's a silver bullet from the time from 1990, if you Google me and that, I've been saying publicly, there is no silver bullet. We raise these people. It is for us to be a part of the solution. And the government must do things like you don't shut down the urban renewal ban. You don't shut down urban renewal because it was somebody else's thing. That is the backward and forwarding.
So I know how you dialogue about it, but man, I want you to join this wagon of mine where we dialogue about it in a way that is problematic to you doing your job now.
Well, I speak for myself. I proceed in a fashion that I think, and I got my instructions in writing, and this is a part of what we have to do, and so. You just address it. And what the public should be aware of is there's a rush to denigrate our agencies who are performing magnificently. I don't know if people reflected that Turks and Caicos is an English colony. They didn't ask for the English. We went down there because they are very close to us. And as it turned out, the person causing havoc transferred easily between the Bahamas and Turks and Caicos because he was a Bahamian. And so when you have an English colony not calling for the English Scotland Yard calling for the Royal Bombers Police Force, and then you have people here calling for Scotland Yard. That's really disrespectful to the Royal Bombers Police Force, who do a stellar job. Always have.
I agree with you 100%. We're going to take a break now, Minister. When we come back, we'll talk about this a little bit more. You're listening to Sea Live. I'm Shivago Langley, your host. I'm here with the Honorable Wayne Monroe, Minister of National Security. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We'll be back after this break.
I marched the car. The lady who ran into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that?
Right.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Too many debt bills? Overdue on loan payments? Improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Shrink your debt payments with a debt consolidation loan and built-in savings that pays you 5% interest. Call 352-6676.
Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama News in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm here with the Minister of National Security, the Honorable Wayne Monroe, and we're talking about recent events of the cabinet shuffle, the efforts of the government going forward. And so glad you could join us. We have a call on the line, lady. Listen to you.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
All right, I'm calling for Minister Monroe in charge of the police. Can the police be more specific when they prescribe and when something go down like a murder and stop saying Japanese vehicle and give us like a parcel, a Nissan parcel, a Nissan Cube, or a Honda Civic or a Honda Accord? You know, Japanese make over 3,000 vehicles. And when they, you know, for the public to help them, give us the description of the car more but so we get concentrated and looking. So we could help the police find this vehicle. Instead of us saying Japanese.
I agree. I've seen the releases where sometimes it's just Japanese and sometimes where they give an actual description of a make. And that depends on the information from people from the scene.
Right.
And we hopefully to be announcing soon something we've been working on to expand their capabilities to be more certain about what happens all over the country. And so a lot of the things that the police do, we can only reveal it when it's done, so that people don't rush to take advantage of what they may think may be a vulnerability before it's closed. But a lot of the nature of the information the police give, if it's announced right after the event, it may be that you have that's all that's available at the moment. And then sometimes they get a clearer picture once we get like CCTV footage or somebody else who comes forward and say, look, I witnessed this, this is the car, this is the make, this is the license plate. So the police and the caller is to be encouraged, because that caller expresses something that the police depends on. The police depends on cooperation with the public and from the public to do their job effectively. And so I will pass that on to the Commissioner of Police. And as far as possible, they'll make it as exact as possible, because that sentiment expressed by that caller is very laudable, because that says that person is willing, ready, and able to do their part in addressing it. So could you imagine if the people who know where these fellas have these guns, who know when the fellas come back, would reach out to Crime Stoppers if they're afraid, because that's answered abroad, and participate as that caller is indicating, there are still people who are prepared to participate. And if more people participate, and there is no place for these folk to hide, then I believe fewer people will get into it, and the people who get into it would be apprehended more quickly and comprehensively.
A couple of things, Minister. You rightly said that the commissioner's responsibility along with the Royal Bahamas Police Force is law enforcement. And as Minister, you know, that's not your job. And as you and I both know, the police can't be everywhere and can't be in somebody's mind who is determined to do a crime or commit a crime. So oftentimes, their enforcement comes after the fact, as in apprehending people who have done their due, and normally do it in secret or do it when they won't be detected and that kind of thing, which then leaves to what you also said is the prevention aspect of it, where you're talking about what is happening in homes, you're talking about what is happening in schools and all that kind of stuff. I know we talk about all that the government, previous administrations, but it was my experience, and maybe you can tell me if it's your experience, that the coordinating function of the efforts of government seems to me looser than it needs to be, and probably explains why we may not get as much of the effect as we want from the government's effort, because we are doing what we're doing in youth, and hoping that all together that works out. But sometimes we're not getting the benefit of that coordinated, compounded effort working together. Isn't that not true? Are you fine?
That is a challenge, and that's why in this administration, again, to his credit, the Prime Minister, I make big bones at saying he's chairman of the National Security Council, which he is. And a big part of what he sees as his function is if there are issues surrounding coordination, then, of course, he is the man who, since he has appointed all of us and directed all of us in writing as to what we're to do, who can seek to iron out and get to the bottom of any issues. There can be siloed effects, and so you have to move institutionally to address them. So, for instance, the Hornley ahead of all law enforcement agencies, that was something that was done in the past. It fell into abeyance. I've reinstituted it from the time we come back. So we have meetings with all of the heads of agencies, the police commissioner, the prison, the corrections commissioner, the commodore, the director of immigration, the controller of customs, the director of NCIA, everyone having a meeting to discuss matters of mutual interest in the space so that you don't operate in silos. And once power will be brought in, so that you don't want something to slip. So, for instance, coordinating the air wings of the police force, defense force, where all of them have aircraft, all of them have engineers, all of them have pilots. Are we making the best use of it? The canines of all of these agencies, are we making the best use of it? Joint operations in terms of things that we have to address. So you have to institutionalize the silo breakdowns in some instances. And then you go across ministries. We piloted a hype program in primary schools because we have to reduce the age at which we intervene. That effort was led by the Royal Bahamas Youth Development office, and it involved Ministry of Health, Ministry of Social Services, Ministry of Education, and then all of the forces, Police Defense Force and Corrections, working together. And so you have to have a coordinating effort. You have it in the Royal Bahamas Defense Force Youth, National Youth Development Office. You have it in urban renewal, in the processes that they coordinate. And we are proposing that you have all of it at an executive level done potentially out of the Office of the Governor General, which will then bring in the private sector efforts as well. Because for all people talk about the church, when Lieutenant Commander Duncombe and Pastor Carlos Reed went out, plenty is happening in these churches to address the situation.
We've got to take a break, but Colin, go ahead quickly, please. Go ahead.
Hello, Brother Lang. Hello?
Yes, sir.
If we're going to prevent crime, I think we need to put more fear in the hearts and minds of would-be criminals. I think they seem to abuse the Bail Act. They seem to have no regard for the change. And I think we need to find a way to put fear in the hearts of criminals.
Thank you, Bishop. That's Bishop Simeon Hall. Thank you, Bishop. Minister?
The strange thing about that is it is said that if you get bail, you're bound to be killed. And people don't seem to be afraid of being gunned down in the street because they constantly go for bail. I think persons, clearly, when they get, and the other disturbing thing is they're telling us that these young men reproduce as soon as possible because they know, and they tell you, they don't expect to live to be 30. So with young men who before 30, it's difficult to understand what they would be afraid of. What we have to do is make them identify with us. I have continuously said, recruitment of a lot of the street gangs is simple. You go to prison, a leader protects you, gives you comfort, let you use his phone, let you smoke for marijuana. Gratitude lets you now be with him. A lot of these fellas make less than minimum wage to risk their lives selling drugs and doing what they do. And they go about this knowing the likelihood is that they're going to be gunned down. And so the challenge is, and it's not very difficult if you catch them before they are committed to this life. When you see someone in trouble, just reach out. The studies show us that when they start to falter in school, then they get disillusioned. Then they think they can't make it through the ordinary system. Then people reject them. And then, of course, the gangs are there to embrace them. And when they are embraced, they know that none of them live to be 30 largely. And so people have complained that, and the police have complained, you now have capital punishment being executed on the street, but that doesn't seem to be deterring people from seeking bail. So let us try to seek something positive, which is join us, because this is your potential in your country.
Minister, we have to take our final break, but you know, I have to ask you, I would love for you one day to come back and let's flesh out some of these things that you are saying, because my own impression is that your perception of what is the dynamics at work in this environment than many have had. And I think it's worth fleshing out some of these things. And we just don't have the time. But we're going to take a break, come back, and then we'll finalize our conversation. You're listening to Z Live. I'm here, Shabbat Wulang, with the Minister of National Security, the Honorable Wayne Monroe. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
wherever you are in the world. Cleveland Clinic's world-class care is here for you. From Ohio to Florida to London, Cleveland Clinic treats thousands of patients every year, ranked number 2 in the world by Newsweek. You can trust our caregivers to enhance your experience across each step of your treatment journey. For every care in the world, learn more at clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Being an investor has its benefits, like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it. At a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time, I can easily get the cash I need for travel, home renovations, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF margin loan at rfgroup.com.
Wait, you know what going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know. And nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pin from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Minister, I had to take that quick intro so we could we gotta have a rapid fire session because we're running out of time, but we got two callers on the line and a couple of texts I would like to address. So we try and get as much in as possible. I'm here, ladies and gentlemen, with the Minister of National Security, Minister Wayne Munro. Go ahead, caller, make it quick for me, please.
Hello, good day. Mr. Munro, I'd like to thank you for your quick response to my letter written to the board and the director of investment since November of last year regarding the Pittstown runway project in Crooked Island. Number one, I would like for you to address with Mr. Lang the foreign persons' rights not to deal with any land where they don't have investment board approval, and would you advise the director of Bahamas Investment Authority?
We're not taking that up today. We're not doing that. We have precious time and precious calls. That's a different subject, Minister. I'm not going to do that to you today. Right. I know of what I speak, so. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, how are you, sir?
Good. And yourself?
Okay, good. Mr. Munro?
Yes, sir.
I want to call you a leader, sir. Growing up in the Young Liberals, Sir Lyndon Penlin said a leader is not a person that has people following him. A leader is a person that makes a leader. You should be very, very proud of Jomo Campbell here today.
I am.
And you now considered one of my leaders in this country. You made a new leader. And I respect you, and I give you the honor for that, sir. I'm very proud of Jomo.
Thank you. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, hello.
Hi, yes, go ahead, sir.
Hey, Shivago. How are you?
Good, man. Good.
Long time, yes. All right, I want to ask the minister to
get please, part, correct? Make it quick for me, please. Yeah. Thanks.
I noticed that he, in his early stages and before coming into office, he was very hesitant towards registry for persons who commit sexual acts. Has to wait at the office, change his position, and also, how does he reconcile now being in office and seeing some of the troubles, his initial resistance is where we have people in the community against persons that end up on that list.
Well,
so how does thanks.
Well, firstly, I never resisted any register. The only thing I've said was people have to understand the limitations. So when I publicly notify of a sexual offender, they register. They have to register once a year. Check in at a police station. They have to notify when they are leaving. We have an island 21 by 7. So the position I took and I still take is that I'd much prefer to know where he is 24 hours a day. And some of what they do in Canada about declaring somebody dangerous permits you to do that. So my reticence is that as effective as you could have it? I would prefer to know if you are dangerous, where you are, second by second, minute by minute, and you knowing that I know might affect some things you do or things you may choose not to do.
You've got a text. Your minister says, yes, Mr. Lang, we all remember all too clearly PM Brave Davis' stand on crime while in opposition with the big posters. What role are those appointments of violence breakers playing, and are they effective, and what does our armed forces hope to accomplish by going into Haiti?
Well, as far as I know, this is the first election in which Mr. Davis was the headliner. The violence breakers, it's a sensitive matter if you know what they're engaged in. We can say that they are making inroads and they are having effect. The only time and only way that the Bahamas will become involved in any peacekeeping mission in Haiti is that it did previously, which is if there's a UN resolution, if there's a CARICOM resolution. Having been to Haiti and held some talks over the course of a day, they have a crime problem. They're not having a civil war. They have a crime problem. And the Haitian National Police, 1,400 strong, the police 11 million people, that's problematic. As long as Haiti remains a problem, it will continue to spur expenses for the Bahamas. If there is an agreement by the UN and by CARICOM, the issue will be how you proceed. The Prime Minister has been clear. The solution must be Haitian-driven because nobody is concerned with occupying Haiti long-term, but simply strengthening their police force to be able to address the challenges that they face.
We have another call on the line, Minister. Go ahead, call it quickly for me.
Yes, Mr. Lang, I'll be quick, fast, and a hurry. I'll take my time, but hurry up. I wanted to call up, but the banking issue has kept me on loan. Just a thing. The minister said that the issue between them of income earning, so if they are making less than minimum wage, then an economic strategy of integration of these youths into the economy would actually be an ideal method to take. Two other points. And that was promised in this blueprint for change, and which is a digital document that they were promised to focus on. My question is,
you have to leave some space for him to answer. You know, I got 2 minutes.
Just let me say one other point. If Mr. Davis is now being considered as the leader from who the first time in the rodeo, wouldn't you apply that same principle to the leader of the FNM? Thank you.
Go ahead, Minister.
I'm not sure that I comprehend the question.
My
response simply is this. Yes. And you really have to go to that person, because if you now say that Wayne Monroe said anything about billboards and crime, that would be incorrect. Completely incorrect. That's my starting point of let's get the narrative, the facts sorted out, and then let's proceed.
Now, can you and I get this sorted out? Would you really seriously please come back?
Yes, Mr. Lang. Part of the job of a cabinet minister is to be available to be able to explain government policy.
Sir. Yes, sir.
And because otherwise we can't complain when people advance false narratives if we're not there to address it fully.
We will reach out soon enough, and hopefully a schedule will permit you. But let's do this again, because there are lots of texts. and callers who we're not going to be able to take up today. But I really want to thank you, Minister, for making yourself available. Any final note?
Yes, Shivago. I think people just have to understand that this is how the system works. The Prime Minister is first amongst equals. The party campaigns on a manifesto, which is our blueprint for change. And the Prime Minister, being a man of his word, is seeking as far as possible to deliver on what he promised the people and using all of the assets at his disposal to get that done as efficiently as possible. I've had the privilege of being in teams led by him over the last 30 years on a professional basis. I've seen him at work, and I have confidence that if he thinks you're not fit for the team, he'll deal with that. And he has a way of bringing out things in people that even they didn't know they could do. And so I think that when we sit back and watch what's to happen, if we have this conversation a year from now, I think some of why he did what he did will be crystal clear.
Thank you, Minister. Really appreciate you coming on today and look forward to talking to you again. Ladies and gentlemen, the Honorable Wayne Monroe, Minister of National Security. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us today. God bless you. And if he spares life, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care. Through the storm, whatever.